character that logistically it would be impossible for the CRC members to screen 700 complaints a year for investigation. The CRDC does feel that more input by the committee in determining if IPR or IAD needs to investigate investigation on a particular matter is desirable. I know that the League of Women Voters will float a proposal to you, so I think that might be an interesting thing to discuss, but I'll let them talk about that. Civilianized training, absolutely agree that we need to have civilianized training. And NACOL is a good resource. They also have a convention in Cincinnati in late October that I would like to see as many members of the CRC as possible attend. One of our big problems is outreach. We have spent a lot of energy trying to meet with the community, and I'm not sure how effective that is, but we need to hire an outreach coordinator, and we need help from the council and the government for that idea. Direct authority to hear citizens' appeals. I feel that is more of a problem of perception than reality. The only reason the IPR director can not allow appeal to come to the CRC currently is a timeliness issue. But if you want to stay direct authority to hear the citizens' appeal, that may clear up that perception problem. In conclusion, police need to be held accountable, but an adversarial relationship where we are continually butting heads was not productive. Police need to be part of this process and part of this discussion, and their voices need to be heard. As much as we respect Auditor Blackmer and the IPR staff, they do not speak for the CRC, and that we feel that we need to be more proactive in getting out our message to the community and also listening to what the community has to say. That always has been a challenge for us, but we need to work harder, and we need to help from you to achieve that goal. We also need to forge stronger relationships with the mayor and the members of the council. We were heartened to see that Maria Rubio of the mayor's office was at our meeting last night. We thought that was a great step. So you can expect to hear more from us. Thank you very much.
Questions?
I appreciate your testimony and your service mm-hmm. on this on the CRC. Is it really that stark of a trade-off of either sort of the status quo or no independent investigations or review of any types of cases? I mean, is it really that stark? You said that you didn't think it was workable. I just want to make sure that I give you a chance.
No, I don't think it's that stark. I think you can measure out how much certain cases that you can review or appeal. I guess that is that what your question was?
Yeah, I just wanted to, we put you on a timer and lots
right.
of people watching. I just wanted to make sure that to give you a chance to amplify a little bit that there might be a way forward to, you know, honoring your workload and how much time you have to devote to this. There might be a way to provide for a limited number of reviews by the CRC.
If you talk about empowering the CRC, I think that is a possibility. I think the staff person would be necessary.
Right.
And some way for someone to screen those cases, and then the ones that they feel need further review would be forwarded to the CRC.
And do you have a personal opinion of whether allowing for a shadow type review as a case is active and going on in the police bureau, or sort of the review a case that has been completed inside the police bureau, or just a totally independent case built from the ground up? On those three options, do you have any opinion on or another one?
I think the case comes in and the IPR staff does a preliminary review, and then it's I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the IPR director along with the IAD, IPR director determines whether it's going to be dismissed at that level or sent to IAD for declination or to be handled as a service complaint. Somewhere right in that point where it's shipped over, maybe the staff person could make a referral at that point. Rather than, I think once it goes all the way through the process, it's too late, really, to sit down and do the investigation.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to ask a couple of questions, Mr. Bigelow. I appreciate your candidness and independence in terms of your views. And I have had the opportunity to talk to several of the members of the CRC, and I've been very impressed with the quality of the people that are on it and their dedication to doing the best job possible. The two questions, and sort of the larger question, is that of the 700 or so complaints that the city of Portland receives each year regarding police officers, only less than 10% are appealable. Do you believe that there should be some system in place? And do other members tend to agree? I know that there's diverse opinion there. But should there be some system in place that actually allows for some kind of an appeal process, whether it's to the CRC in some other way?
Well, I'll give you my opinion. Is yes, I think there is. But I can't speak for the entire CRC because I think there are people that don't believe that. I think that the citizens deserve a right to have their cases reviewed by an outside person other than IPR or the police.
And then my final question has to do with the issue of the CRC and IPR doing an outside investigation regarding a police complaint that may be more appropriately handled that way. Have you folks talked about that, and is there some consensus, or do you believe that it's something that's doable, that from time to time there be times when it would be more appropriate to have it investigated by an outside investigator?
I believe there are certain types of, and I think it was mentioned yesterday, certain types of complaints that should be investigated or more appropriate to be investigated by IPR. I think IPR has the staff and the resources to be able to do that. They have really good investigators there, and a lot of them have. But things like complaints against commander level and above, I think maybe we really haven't had that discussion, and maybe as a CRC should sit down with the auditor and whoever else and have that discussion and see if we can come to a consensus.
Any further questions? Thank you, folks. We have four folks for invited testimony, and I ask them to keep their remarks as brief as possible. Andrea Meyer is representing the director of the ACLU, David Fidanke. Carol Cushman, the president of the League of Women Voters of Portland. Jorge Espinoza, Portland resident. And Kathleen Sadat, director of Diversity and Human Resources for Cascade AIDS Project. Kathleen Sadat here today? Okay. Thank you, folks, for being here. And who would like to start?
Mayor Potter, Commissioners Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. Usually I am here to testify on behalf of the ACLU directly, but today I'm here to testify in lieu of David Fidanke, the Executive Director, who could not be here today. He serves on the State Law Enforcement Contacts Policy and Data Review Committee that's meeting at the same time. He is our expert on this area and has been involved and was indeed interviewed for the report. So my words are a shorter version of the written testimony that I've provided to you on his behalf. Portland has many of the most important components of effective civilian oversight and law enforcement in place, but there are some critically important components that currently are either missing or need improvement. The most effective civilian oversight will meet the following critical goals. Increase the general public's confidence that local law enforcement is professional and responsive to the concerns of the public for both safety and justice. Provide a readily accessible complaint process and ensure investigations and hearings result in findings and actions that are fair to both complainants and police officers. And three, provide for public involvement in the review and improvement of police bureau policies and practices. We believe that if adopted, many of the consultants' recommendations and the mayor's would move Portland closer to achieving these goals. In particular, we fully support an increased community outreach by the CRC and IPR, ensuring that every person who files a complaint receives formal resolution and notification of the outcome, provide clear criteria and procedures for determining when IPR or the CRC should conduct independent investigations, as you've discussed, and we don't anticipate that there would be many of those, and provide an appeals process for all the complaints that are not formally or fully investigated, and as discussed yesterday and today, also provide sufficient staffing resources. An additional critical missing component that I want to focus on is a process for improving bureau policies and practices. We are well aware that the CRC and IPR currently are attempting to address policy issues that arise through the complaint process, but the scope of that effort is limited and is mostly invisible to the public. We agree with the public statements made by the city auditor that these policy issues are critically important, but we strongly disagree that it is necessary to carry out these initiatives quietly and behind the scenes. Indeed, while the current strategy of quietly negotiating with the Bureau may have resulted in some important improvements, it represents a lost opportunity to involve the public and significantly improve the public confidence in the Bureau. Too often, here and elsewhere, police policies have been written to give the broadest possible discretion to individual officers to do whatever they believe is best in a particular situation, rather than giving the officers clear direction on best practices that also reflect the values of the community they serve and protect. Police practices and policies and procedures too often are written to insulate the city, but not necessarily the police officer, from potential litigation, rather than giving the officers the tools they need to solve problem situations safely and practically. And too often complaints about the action of individual officers result in findings that reject the merits of the complaints because the officer acted consistently with established policy, even though the underlying policy should be the focus of the review and remedial action. We think the current role played by the CRC and IPR are important, but tend to be solely reactive to issues that have arisen as a result of specific complaints. And while that role must continue, to be most effective, the Bureau also needs a public sounding board for policy and practice issues before they give rise to complaints or litigation. And the effective model I want to discuss, and I attached, provided to you today, is some information about the Eugene Police Commission. It was established a decade ago, and it periodically reviews key policies and procedures to ensure that police practices reflect the values of the community. Interestingly, the Independent Auditor and Civilian Review Board part of Eugene required a charter amendment, and that original proposal was defeated by a small margin, and it was finally approved only 2 years ago. And I think there was yesterday, Eugene was lumped in with the list of problem jurisdictions yesterday, but those are related, if there are any problems, to the initial implementation of the Independent Auditor's involvement and oversight of IAD investigations and recommendations. That process is newer. The police commission is well established. The commission and its policies review function have now been in place and work actually remarkably well. Commission members receive extensive training on police practices as well as recommended best practices from PERF and other entities. They are broadly represented in the community at large, including at least one member of City Council and the Human Rights Commission. It has a dedicated staff member who takes direction from the commission regarding additional research and information needed to reach broad agreement between the commission and the police command personnel. The Eugene Police Commission has reviewed many hot topic policies that are down there and up here, including use of pepper spray, handling of political demonstrations, civil disorder, and their entire use of force policy. Now, the ACLU does not always endorse the final outcomes or policies, but we very much endorse and participate in that process. These take place in public meetings that have included opportunities for members of the public and interested organizations to make suggestions and express concerns. On the most difficult issues, this commission has reached consensus among its own. If I may finish, Mayor, I'm almost
How
done.
How far are you?
I'm close
you
to concluding.
You really have to wrap it up.
They have reached consensus on these issues, as well as with the chief command personnel and the Eugene Police Department in public. And those recommendations are ultimately advisory to the chief. As I've attached the information, the Bureau here currently has a number of advisory councils and commissions, and we would urge looking at that as an opportunity to set up the system through there. If we are ever to have an effective community policing issue in the city of Portland, There must be transparent mechanisms for members of the community to work in effective partnership with the police bureau to continually improve its policies and practices. Doing so will not only improve public confidence in the Bureau and its personnel, it will also greatly assist officers on the ground to know that they have the full support of the public as active partners in the effort to deter and solve crime in our community. Thank you.
I'm Carol Cushman, League of Women Voters of Portland. The 2001 National Institute of Justice report, How Civilian Oversight Can Benefit Communities, as referenced by Professor Luna Feuerbach's performance review of the Independent Police Review Division, explains that civilian oversight benefits communities by providing a window into the police bureau, increasing public understanding of police policies, procedures, and behavior, discouraging misconduct through retraining and discipline, and improving police procedures by recommending policy changes. We are pleased to see the council with the mayor's leadership considering improvements to the IPR that would move Portland closer to that ideal. The recommendations outlined by the mayor at yesterday's work session offer an excellent starting point. Because the issues are so complex, we suggest appointing a stakeholder group with representatives from the public, CRC, IPR, and the mayor's office to work out the details with council direction. The League submitted a memo to council with a number of detailed recommendations, most of them taken directly from the performance review. We'd like to highlight a few of those today. Some of them were also League experience added into her recommendations as far as our experience with the CRC. The CRC, in conjunction with the IPR director and the public, should develop criteria spelling out the types of cases that should be investigated routinely by IPR. The report provides examples of types of cases, such as illegal searches and serious bodily harm. This does not mean the CRC would be dealing with individual cases, receive investigations independent of the police bureau, but it sets the criteria determining which categories are subject to those investigations. The performance review envisions a more active, empowered CRC. In order to manage the workload and enhance effectiveness, we suggest increasing the size of the board to 11 or 13 members, lengthening the term to 3 years, and dedicating a staff member to support its work. To create a more direct connection between the City Council and the CRC, each council member should be responsible for appointing one CRC member. We were pleased to hear yesterday that the mayor plans to have staff present at all future CRC meetings. The IPR has adopted a number of outreach strategies, but has had limited success. The public needs to be made aware the system exists and how it works. Hiring a staff person to develop and distribute informational material, schedule presentations to community groups, and facilitate public interaction with CRC members would be a good start. It is especially important for CRC to meet with people who have high frequency of police contact. Planning Commission and PDC meetings are broadcast on Channel 30. Maybe it's time to add CRC to the program schedule. We were pleased to hear yesterday that the mayor wants to find a way to give complaints whose cases are declined or classified as service complaints an avenue for appeal. Early in IPR's history, those decisions could be appealed. It makes sense to find a way to give complainants some recourse when they feel a decision is unjustified. There are a number of other policy issues that need consideration, such as how to compel officer testimony in an independent investigation, the standard of review used in appeal hearings, appropriate findings available in complaint cases, training for staff, CRC members, and more. League recommendations on those topics were included in the memo, but once again, a stakeholder group would be well suited to working out the details for council consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have a question.
Question from Commissioner Adams.
I think the results or some of the information provided to us from the auditor in terms of some of the service area concerns, the improvements in some of those measures are pretty remarkable. Do you agree with that?
There are probably improvements in general as far as, you know, we certainly are not arguing over the fact that there have been improvements as far as force and some issues. That doesn't mean that individual citizens still don't feel they should have their own chance for redress of concerns.
Absolutely. And you would want to continue to see those improvements occur, correct?
Correct.
And do you believe, I want to give you an opportunity as someone who's studied this to a little bit of dialogue with the auditor's well-intentioned concerns that if there's too much confrontation or conflict, then everyone sort of goes to their respective corners and only does the minimum required, whereas a more collaborative approach, as he described, has produced some pretty great results. I just wanted to hear sort of your thoughts on what has sort of been characterized as trade-offs, and does it really have to be a trade-off?
I'm not certain I'm going to address exactly what you want, but let me try and say our thought on independent investigations, which I think is one of the places where it's feeling it's a head-to-head conflict. If there are criteria set as to which cases are going to be dealt with as an independent investigation, then I don't see that that's going to affect the rest of the flow. If the independent investigation comes in when there's a use of force, then that's taking a very small number and sort of setting them off. And I'm not saying that is the criteria, but if a criteria is decided, I think it would identify a very small number, and it would be, you know, not a small number of the 700, it would be a small hundred of the six, a small number of the 60 that we're talking, you know, two or three maybe, that might go to an independent investigation over a period of time. So I don't see that becoming a conflict or a head-on, head-butting with interests.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. My name is Jorge Espinosa, and I am a long-term resident of Portland. Let me preface my recommendation by saying a couple of things about my involvement with paramilitary institutions in the state and in the country as well. I have, since 1981, provided instructional advisory and consulting services to various law enforcement and correctional agencies in the state and elsewhere in the country. To name a few, I have worked with the Police Academy in Monmouth. I have worked with the Sheriff Departments in Clackamas and Washington Counties, the Police Department in Salem and Hillsborough, and, yes, the entire staff of the Oregon Department of Correction. Now, this experience has provided me with invaluable knowledge, insight, and experience with men and women policing this great state of Oregon. That is, I do have direct experience with and some understanding of the mind and culture and behavior of those we have chosen to protect and in some instances correct and control the residents of our state. I often tell my students that we look at the past to get a sense of origin, trajectory, and context. Conversely, we do not look at the past for answers to contemporary questions. So what if we are to look back into the tenuous relationship between Portland Police Bureau and communities of color in the early 1980s? On one hand, the Bureau gained national notoriety thanks to the leadership of Richard Walker and Tom Potter when they institutionalized community policing approach into the police bureau here. Now, but on the other hand, I, like many other Oregonians, recall the embarrassing opossum fiasco, the tragic choking of an African-American security guard by three bureau officers, and the ensuing and terribly arrogant "don't choke him, smoke him" t-shirt incidents. It's part of the collective memory. Presently, as the council and the mayor's office grapple with the questions and recommendations made in this report at hand, these past events provide us with two useful elements for understanding the importance of the proposed recommendations. Number one, they provide us with invaluable perspective on the often tumultuous relationship between the PPB and the communities it serves. Second, in my opinion, more important, is that it gives city officials an opportunity to gauge, to measure the perceptions held by some in the PPP of communities of color in Portland. So these are the specific recommendations I support. I support the recommendation to grant the Citizens Review Committee the authority to hear requests for appeals for three reasons. Number one, because the old hierarchical model of decision-making excludes rather than include folks. Number two, the CRC board's members, in fact, represent the many voices of Portland and should not be silenced by structure. Number three, open session speaks of, well, openness, inclusion, and the willingness to be held accountable. I support giving the Citizens Review Committee the proposed staff person for the following reasons. One, it maximizes results. Number two, it's less time consuming and is likely to expedite systemic changes in the PPP, which is an important consideration given that, and I quote from the report, the CRC has been responsible for only three systemic community-focused PPP policy changes in 6 years. I support giving the CRC the authority to conduct independent investigations for two reasons primarily. The PPP strengthens its credibility in the eyes of the community, which is very important, and the Bureau is provided with a beneficial second opinion on controversial cases. Again, this would be evidence of the willingness on the part of the PPP to be held accountable because, as we all know, power begets responsibility. And I support the call for immediate development and undertaking of a public outreach program by both the Independent Police Review and Citizen Review Committee for the following reasons. One, because in educating the community, you empower the community. In informing the community, you gain the support of the community. And when you educate the community and inform the community, it prevents the formulation of useless and damaging urban myths about the PPP. So, like any other groups or agencies or governmental branches entrusted with the public's confidence, oversight is essential. These recommendations, in my opinion, ensure that all members of the public indeed get the service and protection from the Portland Police Bureau that is charged with providing. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, folks. How many folks have signed up to testify?
We have 17 people left now.
Okay. Yeah. Let's call the first three.
First three are Dan Handelman, Pastor Leroy Haynes, and Shauna, I believe it's Murphy. Okay. What is the last name? What's her last name? Murphy. Let's go with Hector Lopez.
Because of the large number of people testifying and the lateness of the hour, I'm going to ask you folks to keep your comments to 2 minutes. Appreciate that. And please proceed. State your name when you speak.
That's very disappointing, Mayor Potter, but I'll go ahead anyway. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm with Portland Cop Watch. And it's great to finally be having the discussion about the IPR, which is long overdue and probably should have happened when 5 of the 9 Citizen Review Committee members resigned in frustration that IPR staff would not support them in 2003. We realize that there are concerns about some of the report, but that it does not make the recommendations or the current discussion irrelevant. These are some of the major ideas we support. The CRC should be able to set the guidelines for when independent investigations will be conducted by IPR. Cases investigated by civilians should include high-profile shootings, deaths, use of force with serious bodily harm, racial profiling, illegal searches, and when there's high emotion in the community or conflict of interest. These are the parameters that are used in systems in Albuquerque, Boise, and Eugene. Transparency and outreach can be greatly increased by using the support report suggestions. It's not about the community wanting to look at police files, which I've heard accusations of. It's about IPR and CRC telling the public what they are doing and asking for feedback frequently and consistently. We also believe the city should change the charter to make the IPR fully independent and not subject to political whims. And the IPR-CRC need its own legal counsel that's not from the city attorney's office. There have been problems in the past because of this. The standard of proof, this is addressed in the report, but it's not a specific recommendation, should be changed to preponderance of the evidence, the confusing reasonable person standard that currently exists should be replaced. This is an administrative process. It's not quasi-judicial as asserted by some people in the system. And I just want to jump to this alleged drop in shootings and all the improvements that we keep hearing about. I don't think you can make a causal link between the existence of the IPR and these changes in numbers. In fact, there was only one shooting in 1995 when PIAAC was still around, and you can't say it had anything to do with that, and we can't prove it one way or the other. We analyzed the statistics on how much money is paid out in lawsuits, and those numbers have almost doubled since the IPR has existed. We could claim that's because of the IPR, but we can't prove it. So I want to be careful about listening to claims that the IPR is responsible for any changes in use of force or profanity complaints.
Ask a follow-up question. So I'm trying to ask questions to get people to come together that appear to make some sort of extreme statements. Do you agree that, I accept and understand what you're saying in terms of sort of that you don't see any causal relation between IPR and some of the improved trends, knowing that not all the trends have improved. You make no causal relation at all? IPR has had no positive impact on those trends?
I just say you can't prove it. Certainly there. When tasers were brought in 2002, we were told they were going to replace the use of handguns. They've been used 1,000 times a year now, which I think is a lot more than handguns were ever used. And that's when the shootings started dropping off. So to only say it has something to do with the IPR is, I think, disingenuous.
Okay. Is there any strengths that, in whatever changes we look at making, are there any strengths that you would want to advise us to sort of fortify?
The strengths that you should fortify, what you've been hearing today about the Citizen Review Committee needing more power and needing to have the community more involved, is very important. The use of force directive that just came out yesterday or Monday, I guess, from the Police Bureau, two Citizen Review Committee members sat on the committee that designed that, but I don't think that the draft was sent back to them. It certainly wasn't sent to the whole CRC, and we as an organization that does police oversight never saw the draft of that. And what Andrea Meyer was talking about is the community should be involved in those things, and we weren't.
Thank you.
Yes, I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes. To Honorable Mayor Tom Potter and distinguished members of the City Council, on behalf of the Amana Ministerial Alliance, the oldest and largest ministerial alliance in the North and Northeast Portland, we come to support the recommendations for the commission study on the Independent Review Division. We believe that the six-month study captures the heart of what is needed to reform IPR and the Citizen Review Committee in order to create public trust and participation of citizens, especially communities of color. It is important that the Citizen Review Committee doesn't be just an imitation of internal affairs. We have an internal affair. We don't need another internal affairs, but rather be citizen-driven. It is important that the Citizen Review Committee be independent of the Portland Police Bureau and possess investigative powers on all levels. It is important that the Citizen Review Committee be transparent to all citizens to see and not backroom politics. It is important for the Citizen Review Committee to be able to make recommendations directly to the City Council for disciplinary action. And although IPR and the Citizen Review Committee will not resolve all of the issues of the brokenness between the Portland Police Bureau and especially the communities of color, it is an essential pillar to create a bridge of trust, cooperation, and partnership between the Portland Police Bureau and the community, especially the communities of colors. Thank you.
I'm Hector Lopez, retired minister in the United Church of Christ and former chair of CRC in its first 2 years of activity. Thank you for holding this hearing. The tension between protective agencies and the communities that allow them is historic. It is an important point to remember that all protective organizations are ultimately accountable to the community that created them. We need the police. We need the bureau, but we need one that relates well to the community. This relationship is built on trust, accountability, and participation. Anytime a segment of the greater community loses trust, it does so because there is a perceived lessening or lack of accountability. The Independent Police Bureau is a way of holding the police bureau, the police bureau accountable to the communities that it serves. Since its initiation, the citizen participation has been eroding. The auditor's office, the commissioners, and the directors of IPR have been responsible for this erosion, as they recommended changes to the original ordinance to limit or take away from CRC powers and responsibilities authorized by the original ordinance. And every time this was done, there was a loss of faith from the community. I refer you to the CRC 321-090A-1-7, the powers and duties of the committee. There are seven listed there, including hearing appeals, hold hearings, recommend referrals to the city council. The new definition of CRC primary function is 4, and it eliminates much of the powers that we had. I recommend to you to implement the consultant's recommendations and those that you've heard from others, and strongly urge that IPR CRC be placed for an interim period away from the auditor's office until such a time as a truly independent police review system with its own office, staff, and resources can be created accountable only to the citizens of the city. We recommend that you initiate a process to draft a charter amendment that will create this new reality for our city. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
The next three are Shauna Kerfree, Pastor Lynn Smouse Lopez, and Casey Jama. How about Stephen Sherlock? Joe Smith? Jason Renaud?
Please read the next name.
Alejandro Corral. Thank you. And they'll be followed by David Elkins, Teresa Teeter, and Robert King.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
I'm Reverend Lynn Smouse Lopez. I am representing the Citizens Campaign to End Racial Profiling. And I want to commend all of you and the report that you requested, and commend the report developer. It's very important, and it answers a lot of questions and concerns that have been brewing for many years. I am married to the former chair of CRC, I'm sorry. And when he walked out and the others quit, they did it out of very big frustration. Their hands were tied. So when Auditor Blackmer said that there were decreases in police shootings, I don't know how he could tie it to the CRC. They were not allowed to investigate police shootings, is my understanding. So I want to commend Chief Sizer and the Portland Police Bureau for helping make those changes, those improvements in our community. But it certainly wasn't because those hands were part of that, those improvements. And I don't think I'm saying it as clearly as I would like. But change came because there was a lot of community outcry. There was a change in leadership in the police bureau. New chiefs of police came on that had a vision of making change, and Chief Sizer has really played that out and continues to try to make those changes. The CRC is a necessary, and the Independent Police Review are very necessary bodies, but they need not to have their hands tied. They need to be increased to 13 members to increase representation from the community. They need to have true independence and power, not be under the auditor's office. They need to be transparent and help the process of transparency everywhere. And so I ask you to continue to engage the community and continue to support this important body, but make it independent. Thank you.
Joe Smith. I come as a former district attorney who I know had a great deal of respect from the police community and worked very closely with the police community, and as a district attorney gathered a real appreciation for the challenges that the police community faces. There is a tendency of any uniformed organization to develop a we-they mentality, whether it's a basketball team or an army that is always in uniform. And no place is it more natural to happen than in the police establishment. But to the extent that there is a we-they mentality that causes the citizens, to also feel we-they, law enforcement loses. Because effective law enforcement depends so drastically upon the support of the civilians, the support of the community. And the community, therefore, has to feel that the police are not they, but us. We, all of us together. Naturally, police will look upon lawbreakers as they. Don't criticize that. But Reverend Haynes is not here today as a lawbreaker or a representative of lawbreakers. The ACLU, the League of Women Voters, the former chair of CRC, are not here as lawbreakers or representative of lawbreakers. They are here as representatives of important segments of our community who have the impression that there is not a fair system. And sometimes, whether the impression is accurate or not, it is the most important reality. I suggest a CRC and an independent review board that has real power and has the ability to make its own investigations is almost a no-brainer in encouraging that sense of citizen cooperation, participation, and support. And I urge the council to seriously take steps in that direction. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Alejandro Caral. I'm the former director of the Northwest Constitutional Rights Center. Much has been said today that I will not repeat, but I do want to emphasize a number of things. First, this is a unique opportunity to address a system that has not been working, that has missed unique opportunities to address complex policing problems in our society, in Portland particularly, one of which, just as an example, is the problem of racial profiling. IPR was designed to identify and deal with, through CRC, the problem of racial profiling. And that was an issue that took, I think, a lot of the establishment by surprise because there was no direct connection with the community and the feelings that the community was having with respect to how they were being policed. So this provides an opportunity for analysis and a deeper understanding of what CRC and the Independent Police Review Division do and do well and what they do not do well. But for this to happen, we will need particular political leadership, especially strong-headed political leadership, to carry this process through. We have elections coming up, and I'm concerned, and I think many of us in the community are concerned, that this issue will fall through the cracks, that because there will be other political pressures, we will ignore it. And I think it's important to emphasize how we need that to be able to carry that conversation, because there are a number of stakeholders that don't see eye to eye. And we need to bring the stakeholders together. We need to bring community members to the table. We need to continue to bring the rank and file of the police to the table. They need to be part of this conversation. I completely agree with that. The issue here is not only to improve how IPR is perceived in the community, but also how the police bureau and its culture fit within the city of Portland. I think we are in the right path, but I think this report provides us an opportunity for improving that model and for improving the model that causes us to oversee the police. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
The next three are David Elkins, Teresa Teeter, and Robert King. They'll be followed by Diane Lane Woodcock, Norm Costa, and Martha Perez.
Thank you for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is David Elkins, I'm a resident of Beaverton. I was encouraged by Commissioner Leonard's, there was an article in the paper about more transparency, and I just heard about this meeting yesterday, so I threw a bunch of things together. And I've been in contact with Mike Hess with the IPR about a complaint I had. And this has to do mainly with, suppose that you do go through with this and put some teeth into the IPR, that I've offered a lot of my intelligence work or gathering of information to basically make it a lot easier for them to do an investigation using the Freedom of Information Act. And that's basically why I was here. Mike Hess called me a couple weeks ago to look at my complaint, go back through it and whatnot, and review, and I gave him some information. But I told him that the Freedom of Information Act would be available to an investigative agency within Portland, that the FAA, in particular, who this all this documentation is from, could be released to the investigative body. And it has to do a lot with a lot of unwarranted surveillance and a lot of activity by the Portland Air Support Unit, which is a little bit different from a lot of these other complaints they've probably compiled over the years. So that's all I was doing, is putting in my 2 cent worth. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Teresa Teeter. I filed an IPR report complaint. I witnessed an incident the night after election night when all of us were out in the streets of Portland. And we were on our third lap back from Burnside back to Pioneer Square because of the outrage of the election. And I witnessed a police officer use his motorcycle as they were lined up on the MAX line over by what's now Macy's. A guy cut through the crowd, jumped off the curb to cross the street. He wanted to get home. He wasn't with the groups, you know, the protesters. And the officer revved up his motorcycle and nailed him and pinned him under his front wheel. And to this day, I still have the license plate memorized, et cetera. I filed the complaint. I had the investigator contact me. She was standing on the corner, and she could not verbally comprehend what I was telling her, to face the building, to look at the track, that the officer would have been right in front of her, and he rear-ended the police motorcycle in front of her. And my concern is that it's called a third-party complaint. There's no process in the IPR process for a witness like myself of a third-party complaint. And all I got back was a letter from that said Officer Farher said that he denied doing that. Of course, I remember the reaction of the officer whose motorcycle he rear-ended, because that officer cursed at him. And I couldn't get anybody to witness. I was kind of stuck in with the anarchist group, so they're obviously not going to come talk to you guys because they obviously know the system's not working too well. So anyway, that type of situation wasn't rectified to my satisfaction, so I've never filed another complaint. Also, sitting in CRC meetings, I noticed that when the issues come up with TriMet Transit tickets and police people are assaulted, a gentleman was held down by his neck by an officer that wasn't a police officer but an outside agency who wasn't aware of how the TriMet Transit tickets operated for the handicapped persons, et cetera. And I'm saying that the CRC group that night didn't understand the honored citizen card system either, so they weren't able to make proper determinations, et cetera. My other concern is that Leslie Stevens, who was the former director of IPR, has now shifted over to the police bureau, and if she's taking the same training or lack of training from this IPR here and going to try to make changes over there, I think you've hired the wrong person.
King, because of your special situation, would you like an additional 2 minutes?
Certainly. Thank you. My name is Robert King. I'm the president of the Portland Police Association. I represent the 900 police officers, sergeants, detectives, and criminalists whose actions and alleged misconduct we're talking about today. I, for one, to begin by saying that I think that this the audit itself and this process that's played out both yesterday and today is both disappointing and divisive and unnecessary. I'm also concerned that the discussion today with respect to shootings being down isn't given more credit. I think as a community, the reduction in the number of police officer shootings in a community should be celebrated and heralded and championed instead of struggling over who to give support for. I was called once by the auditor, and she gave me one date to meet, and we didn't speak following that. I have extensive experience and knowledge in this area, and I would have been happy to have talked with her. The IPR audit itself falls short in too many ways to mention. The consultant repeatedly misunderstands the IAD, the IPR, and the CRC process. She mistakes statistics. She uses incorrect math. She quotes unnamed sources. She fails to cite relevant evidence. And she displays so much partiality that there is no pretense of neutrality or academic rigor. It's hard to imagine the city basing anything on this report, much less substantial changes to the disciplinary process. This deeply flawed IPR audit could not have come at a worse time. The morale in the police bureau is the worst it's been in over 20 years. We're dramatically short-staffed. The number of sworn employees has declined by 11% over the past 10 years, and today we have only 381 street cops in the five precincts. The job has become so unappealing that the Bureau has dropped the minimum education requirement for the job, is resorting to lowering the probation period from 18 months to 12 months, and is now offering signing bonuses just to attract applicants. None of that's worked. Though historically we have been the highest paid agency in the state, today we are losing candidates to smaller agencies because of comparable or even better pay, and because officers in those cities don't face the same relentless microscopic scrutiny and criticism that we do here. Officers genuinely believe they will receive no support from their employer in controversial incidents. They've learned that the best that they can expect is silence. For the first time in my career, I can tell you that this lack of support is now clearly resulting in officers hesitating before they take action on the street, hesitating for fear of being wrongly dragged through the pages of a newspaper more interested in selling papers than accuracy, hesitating for fear of whether you, their employer, will support them. We're deeply concerned about this. We're worried about this hesitation. We're concerned that it will lead to serious injury of both Portland citizens and members of the Portland Police Bureau. I've been a Portland police officer for almost 19 years, and I can tell you that I've never seen the Bureau more demoralized than it is today. Lastly, I want to say something that we don't hear often enough. The Portland Police Bureau is an organization of professional men and women who risk their lives every day to keep our community safe. Bureau members make over 450,000 citizen contacts annually with only 700 complaints. That's one complaint in less than 0.1% of all police citizen contacts. We believe it's impressive by any standard, and they do all of that with a staffing at only 1.8 officers per thousand at a level 40% where it should be by national standards. I think the audit itself, having read it, and reviewed it extensively, is a blatant disservice to the hard work of the police officers who are on the street today. And what I think officers need more is more and greater explicit support and encouragement and less results-oriented audits and recommendations.
I have a question.
Commissioner Adams?
Well, thanks, Robert, for being here and for your testimony. I think it's important that we hear from you representing the rank and file of the police bureau. Do you, are there any of the audit recommendations that you, and there are a lot of them, so any that come to mind that you would support?
What's troubling is I was really disappointed by the knowledge that is possessed by the council of the intake that occurs in complaint processing. I was stunned by that, frankly. I don't think that we, the police bureau, have been given any credit for the successes that we have experienced or that we enjoyed, and there are a couple of important ones. The police bureau has established a more and greater transparency in its review of officer conduct and officer use of force. There's now a performance review board and there's a use of force review board that is in place, and it's working, and I think it's effective in a variety of different ways. So. There are things that I think that we have done for which we have not been given credit, which makes it more difficult to be conciliatory or helpful or cooperative in the implementation of recommendations from an audit that we don't think is fundamentally sound.
Are there any circumstances, just asking for your sure. professional judgment or representing your constituency, are there any circumstances where you would see appropriate and an independent review by the CRC?
You know, the IPR has had the authority to conduct independent review or independent investigation since its inception. and they have not done that. And they have not done that because of what they view as the thoroughness of the investigative process that plays out in IA. And what you don't know, and what clearly won't satisfy the concerns of everybody either in the room or the community, IA now has retired homicide investigators conducting internal affairs investigations. So when we go talk to internal affairs investigators, we're talking to investigators who have previously interviewed and gotten confessions off of killers. So the quality and the thoroughness of the IA process has been above the standard that's out there kind of nationally. And the concern we've got about these so-called independent investigations is, first of all, I agree with Gary's comment from yesterday that I don't think three or six independent investigations are going to satisfy the concerns of the people that don't trust the police today. And number two, I'm concerned, I think that when the pressure is on and when the community is pressing the council and when we've used force, that in those half dozen cases where the investigations occur, that the officer faces the greatest likelihood of being scapegoated. We've seen that play out before. It's in our culture. We believe it'll happen. So you'll gain the advantage of being able to say that you've appeased a segment of the community, but on the other hand, the trade-off is that you've made the individual officers who are involved in those specific cases pay a price that I don't think is appropriate.
Can you imagine any sort of independent review that would avoid those pitfalls as you've stated them and would be objective, and they might not satisfy, maybe having a less than all of them done by independent review, but could you imagine putting together some sort of process that would be fair?
Given how badly managed this process has been and the fact that what didn't happen during the time that the IPR and CRC was functioning and operating, given the fact that we didn't get together as a group around this table on a more routine basis and talk about concerns and make improvements along the way, and given the fact that we're now put in this position of sort of being backed into these various corners, I can't say that I would support or that I agree or that I think there's any value to independent investigations at all, and I'm sure my members looking in on this would want me to say that I would do everything in my power to protect them, even if that meant grievance and lawsuit, because we've been cooperative and helpful at every step along the way in the development both of process and policy, and it doesn't ever seem, frankly, to be enough. And so for you to come to us and say, you know, we'd like you just to trust us and be confident that in these six cases that you'll be treated fairly, I don't think that trust exists today for this political process or this council.
Thank you, folks. How many more do we have?
Five more.
Okay.
The next three are Diane Lane Woodcock, Norm Costa, and Martha Perez.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes. Go ahead, Norm.
Norm Costa, citizen volunteer, you might say. I've been in working with the Portland Police Bureau as a citizen since 1995. I even took a client, an HIV client, from my health department through IPR in 1995, I believe. And it was really an interesting process. I'm involved with the Sexual Minority Roundtable. I'm involved with the Portland Police Bureau's Chiefs Forum as an advisor. I'm also on the steering committee of the Coalition Against Hate Crimes. And I've done a lot of oral interviews for the Portland Police Bureau. For the last 3 years, I've done oral interviews for the IPR. The people on IPR are intelligent, and through the process, they make very good decisions. Understanding police culture is really important. And understanding the police culture is that I really believe that in the last few years, I've seen many changes in the Portland Police Bureau, and there have been positive changes. And that's in conjunction with all citizens, not just IPR or the police bureau, the men that serve in the police bureau. It's everyone. And I think that we as citizens of Portland should be proud of what we're doing as a citizen. This is still one of the most livable cities. And I really support keeping the auditor system in place. Thank you.
Oh, shoot, I don't get his 20 seconds, huh? I'm Diane Lane Woodcock, and I was a part of the mayor's task force for making improvements to PIAC in 2000.